This is a CattleCast Extra.
Alisa Shivari is a freelance illustrator originally from Peru. She grew up and now resides with her family in northern Michigan. She has done work for Simon & Schuster, HarperCollins, Hallmark, Sesame Street, and many more. And some of her work is connected to cattle in a special way. Alisa, welcome to CattleCast.
Hi, thank you for having me.
So how did you first get interested in drawing and illustrating?
This is a tough one to remember because it started so early for me, but I've had a lot of creative influences in my family. I have a creative mom and creative aunts and uncles, but if I had to guess, I think my first influence was probably my paternal grandfather, because we lived in his house and he took care of me a lot while my parents worked, and he would tinker in his garage, and when he had me in the garage with him, he set me up with my own chalkboard and chalk and old comics, which I think were old Mickey Mouse comics or something like that. And so I would just get drawn into my own world drawing there. And in addition, he would also write stories for me that he would then make my uncle illustrate, and I was just so fascinated by that really would spark my imagination and made me want to do the same thing. And that was back when I was 4 years old or younger and still lived in Peru.
Oh, wow. And so that stayed with you as you were growing up then?
Yeah, it really did. And I would also watch the old cartoons with him, and I just have that memory of very vividly of just being fascinated by all the old cartoons as well. And once I found out that they were just moving drawings, then I was like, well, I want to do that, which
Sure.
is why I ended up studying animation.
What were some of the cartoons you remember?
I think it was mainly Mickey Mouse was what he was watching back then.
Well, now you graduated with honors from Savannah College of Art and Design. You majored in classical animation and a minor in comics. What kinds of study and research were involved to receive those degrees?
Well, it was a lot of fun. Art school is a lot of fun, but we did have to get some math and English out of the way and some art history, so we did have to do that. And for animation, you study movement. So we had to do a lot of life drawing. We had life drawing classes with live models, or were encouraged to draw just from life as much as we could. But you'd get the nude models, and they would do you'd do gesture drawings where they would just pose for a few seconds at a time, and it was just to try to capture movement. So you got a lot of practice like that. We also had classes for layout and design, a lot of kind of stuff, the same stuff that's involved in film. You just like laying out like the camera pans or the design of what's going to be seen on screen. We had classes in storyboarding, which is you do a bunch of quick drawings to yeah, basically board out the story that is then going to be animated, kind of like a picture book with a lot of mm-hmm. a lot of pages.
Right.
So yeah, there was a lot involved. You kind of studied a little bit of every area and tried to find out where you fit in best. Character design, and that was more so my favorite area, was the character development and design and concept art for the look and feel of what the animation would be. And I ended up taking the comics sequential art as an elective, but I fell in love with that too, because of how it taught you a little bit of how to tell a story with pictures a bit more.
Mm-hmm.
All animation is about telling stories mainly as well, so you had to take some classes in writing and storytelling, that sort of thing. So there's a lot involved, and painting and that as well, and stop motion animation too, where you that was an elective of mine, but that's the one where you actually build like a little sculpture of what you're going to animate it and move it a little each frame of the camera. You just move a little bit at a time. And
yeah. So after you get through all of this, what was your first big break?
Well, I'm still waiting for my first big break, I think. Oh. But the first thing that got me rolling that I was really excited about was probably the first picture book I was involved with, which was Santa Goes Green for a small publisher in Michigan that no longer exists anymore, but it was Mackinac Island Press. So it was really just very exciting to see my illustrations in a book form. And that kind of led to an author, Esme Codell, finding me and then recommending me for a book that she had a contract with Simon & Schuster, and they actually took her recommendation and emailed me one day, and I couldn't believe it. I thought it was a joke. I couldn't believe Simon & Schuster had sent me an email. But it was that first Santa Goes Green book that kind of got the ball rolling.
Well, now you mentioned, your impressive client list ranges from American Girl to Simon & Schuster. Talk about some of those projects that you've done for these publications.
For American Girl, and I can't say enough nice things about American Girl because they're just one of the nicest clients to work for. I started doing magazine work for them, so I would illustrate some of their fictional stories in their magazine. And they're always really nice stories. And with American Girl, they have a good vision in mind of what they want for the story. So they even, within their layouts, sometimes they'll have a rough sketch of what they have in mind. And American Girl will even sometimes give you color palettes that they want to inspire you with. So that's a lot of fun. I kind of learned a lot working with them because mm-hmm. they're so good at art direction. And from working on the magazine, their book department ended up getting a hold of me, and I was lucky enough to get to do some of the Smart Girls Guide books with them. So that's some other work I've done with them. I did the Smart Girls Guide to Boys, learned a lot, and the Smart Girls Guide to Cooking, and the Puzzlepalooza book. And hopefully I'll get to do more with them. The Simon & Schuster Aladdin imprint was the one I did that book, Fairly Fairy Tales, with for author Esme Codell. And that's a kind of a book about fractured fairy tales that was a lot of fun to work on, where you get an image of the original fairy tale, and then it's kind of like a what if this other element were added to it. So, for example, the Cinderella one was different things that match the Cinderella story that the kids can agree to. And then you add pumpkin, and that's the well maybe factor. And you turn the page, and it's like a disco scene where the disco ball is a big pumpkin, and it's Cinderella dancing disco with the prince. And then there was a more recent sequel to that book that was maybe Mother Goose, which is kind of the same thing with Mother Goose nursery rhymes.
Now, you have a special connection to cattle, something that hundreds of people see each week. You designed the artwork on the outside of our mobile library. How did you get asked to do that project, and how were you inspired to create the design for it?
This was, by the way, one of my favorite projects of all time, and I was contacted by Jolie Hamlin to see if I was interested, and I was very enthusiastically interested. And she had actually contacted me years ago just randomly through email to tell me she'd seen my work on a friend's blog, I think, and just that she liked my work. It was just a very nice email. And then coincidentally, a few years later, my sister ended up having her husband, Jeff Hamlin, as a film professor. And he needed somebody with some animation, that did animation work for a PSA that he was going to be working on. And she put me in touch with him and with a couple of college buddies of mine. We did this little animation video public service announcement for Children's Collaborative Summer Library Program. And she knew my work more recently through that.
Right.
And so, yeah, that kind of led to the bookmobile project, I believe.
And what was that like, coming up with the design for it? I mean, did that take you, you know, a day, a month? You know, how long did that process take, and what was involved in it?
It took a few months. It was It was very similar to what any other illustration project would have been, strangely enough, even though it was such a large format. But since it was printed digital, I just got to work on a small scale. But the way it usually works is Jolie was my main contact, and she was working with a committee. They all had their ideas of what they wanted, and Jolie and I spoke, and she kind of told me their vision for the project and also asked for my ideas, which was very nice. And once I kind of had a good idea of what she had in mind, then I got to start working on some sketches, and then there was a lot of back and forth there after the sketches and everybody trying to figure out what they want. It's always a bit more of a challenge when it's a committee or of a bigger team, but it actually went fairly smoothly this time around. And their vision originally, I think there was the idea from the start from Jolie to have an open book and to try to represent that. What everything that books can open up your mind to. So that was the original concept for it. But what books can open up your mind to is pretty limitless. So, but that also let the illustration not have to be so literal and more of an explosion of color and images that hopefully help just draw you in and be curious about the bookmobile and what might be contained inside.
And now something that people see every day as they're driving down the street. Isn't that exciting?
That is exciting. I've actually never seen it in person, but it's very exciting to me that exists and it's there.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, can you share with our listeners some of the projects that you're currently involved in?
Right now, I have a few small projects through some educational publishers like Houghton Mifflin, Harcourt, and Sadlier. I do some of that work that I never really get to see it after I send it off. It's I think the stuff that they give to schools and stuff. So I have that going, and I'm also wrapping up a couple of projects for a new client for me called Crocodile Creek, which is a toy company, and I'm very excited. This is something I've always wanted to start getting involved with, is illustration for toys. And I got to design two big floor puzzles for them, kind of like jumbo size floor puzzles. And one is about a concept for children of the world, and that was a dream concept for me. And the second one is about diversity and inclusion, which is also, I think, a beautiful concept. I'm not sure how much I can share about them, but those will be coming out next year. And I'm also pitching some art for a book for Lee and Lo about a prominent figure in Peruvian archaeology. So I'm very excited about that, being from Peru, anything that lifts up Peru and shows how special of a country it is, I'm excited about. So,
right.
I'm working on sample art for that.
Well, for anyone interested in obtaining more information about you and your work, where can they go?
I have a website, elisachavari.com, elisachavari.com. And I have an agent now, so you can find my stuff on the Painted Words website and on social media. I'm most active with my Instagram account, which is also just my name, Elisa Chavari. And I post there mostly personal projects and sketches or any announcements of anything. I also have an Etsy shop with prints, so that's just my name as well. So
continued success to you, and congratulations on all your work and our mobile library artwork. And we'll be watching you in the future.
Well, thank you so much for having me. I'm very, very flattered.
Elisa Chavari, thanks for joining us on Cattlecast.